Well, it's good to be here. Pastor asked me to do an RU message. We haven't had RU for quite some time. And first and foremost, I want to say that I miss you all. 333 Central Street is a great place for us to meet on Friday night. And since September of 2017, we've been meeting here. And then at another spot in Franklin, but this spot in Franklin has been, we've been there for a little over a year now, and but our group has been together for this period of time from 2017 on. And the bond that we have together is just so special to me, and the dedicated people that we have in RU are just a blessing to me, and it is a privilege for me to be the director of RU. And I'm going to talk a little bit about RU and what it's meant to me as we go through this message. So today's message is, let's look at how God ushered in the age of the restoration of a personal relationship. So after the fall of man, our confidence was in ourselves. Man's confidence was in themselves. Man went on a search for knowledge about God so that he could be like him in his own power, which spells pride. And pride destroys a person's ability to have a relationship with God. If you turn to James 4:6, it says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble." We've talked many times about our humility in evaluating ourselves in our lives. And in order to have that relationship with God, we have to first humble ourselves and see ourselves as we truly are. God had a plan to rescue our sin-sick souls. He knew that we would not respond to developing a relation in order to heal our fallen state. But God knew that we would only accept information. So he sent the second Adam, Jesus Christ, for our redemption. And after salvation, God wants us to move from acquiring more information to developing a personal relationship with him. So a personal relationship with him is really important. After Eve sinned, that wonderful walk that they had with him on a daily basis in that garden, it was gone forever. It was abruptly ended, but God came forth with a plan very quickly to restore that fellowship with man, and that's what he wanted to do. So secondly, we're going to focus our attention on the differences between justification and sanctification, and that's going to be the broad scope of what we're going to talk about today, is justification and sanctification. Now, justification frees us from the penalty of sin. Sanctification frees us from the power of sin. Because of justification, I don't have to die and go to hell to pay for my sins. Because of sanctification, I do not have to live daily under the dominion of sin. Now, when we get saved, we are to be transformed. My life verse, which I've given many, many times in RU, 2 Corinthians 5:17, says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So we are to be new creatures in Christ, but just being justified that is just the first step. Sanctification is the process by which we grow in love and knowledge of Him. Justification is being made right in heaven. Sanctification makes me more right on earth. Remember, justification and sanctification are both works of God through grace, not our own works. Justification means that God knows you personally. Sanctification is knowing God. And 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." It is a continuous walk with God. Justification is dependent on accepted information that Christ was crucified to pay for our sin. Sanctification is the process of developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Justification equals the empty cross. Sanctification equals the empty tomb. Philippians 3:10 says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." See, know sanctification, that the foundation is knowing him. And not just knowing him, but mimicking him. Following him means following his example. We must build a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul teaches us to yield to sanctification and yield to God. In very familiar verses that we've covered multiple times in RU, but obviously are very important and will be repeated again and again, Romans 12:1 and 2 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." A personal relationship with Jesus Christ requires a presentation. What does that mean? Paul is beseeching us, means he's begging us to give up our bodies to God and to present our bodies to him. God wants us to forsake what we want to do, to be, and to have in exchange for what he wants us to do and be and have. Have you ever asked yourself the question, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to be? Lord, what do you want me to have?" Maybe you have asked that question. What was the answer? And what was the action as a result? Did you set about to do it? Many times we, as Christians, accept ourselves as we are. And I've even heard messages titled, you know, "This, what do you expect? This is who I am. This is who I am." Well, God made you who you are, but he made you conformable. He made you as a saved person to be sanctified. My personal example, most recent, which I've shared many times, is when Pastor introduced the idea of RU, the Spirit of God, was telling me immediately, this is a ministry you need to be involved in. My flesh said, "Yikes, Friday nights." And I knew how tired I was at the end of the week. But I knew what the Lord wanted me to do. Just as many as our team members, and even the students know as you progress through the program, this is where God wants you to be. This is what he wants you to do. And what you become as a result of being involved in this program is to be a growing servant, serving others. I definitely knew that this was where the Lord wanted me to be. He wanted me to serve. And I also knew that I would be probably doing the speaking. And I knew that quite early when Pastor and I talked. And that was not something I really relished. But look at how the Lord has blessed all of us. Look at how the Lord has worked in each of our lives. You know, it's so important to be willing to do what the Lord wants us to do. And how do we determine that? Well, we know the will of God through the Word of God. The presentation is to lead a Holy Spirit-led lifestyle in order to experience the benefits of a personal relationship with God. And Paul also talks about conforming and transforming. You know, many of us, when we get saved, I was 28 years old when I got saved, you could see an immediate change, transformation. Many times children get saved, you don't see such a drastic change. I lived a wicked lifestyle for 28 years. So when I get saved, the Lord got hold of my life and set me in another direction, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's no different from anyone that gets saved. They're sent in a new direction. But how they conform and how they are conformed and transformed is something that they will have to determine by yielding to the Spirit of God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, stop thinking and acting the way that we have been and begin thinking and acting a new way. And Paul is teaching us that in order to change the way we act, and we've said this many times in our youth, we have to change the way we think. And it has to align with the Word of God. A proper presentation leads to transformation. The word transformation comes from the word metamorphosis, which means a change in form. The transformation or change in form in our lives begins with the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind means to make new after destruction or depravity. And isn't that what we've seen in people's lives? Lost people getting saved and desiring to follow the Lord. Transformation begins with the renewing of our mind. Renewing the mind means to make new after destruction or depravity. Very important. Sin must gain permission from the soul before it can engage the body. Its point of entry and persuasion begins where? In the mind. For example, Eve. The serpent worked on Eve's mind, convincing her that God didn't say what he said, when he did say what he said. And even she twisted it. The transforming of our behavior must also begin in the mind. Instead of becoming monsters like the Incredible Hulk, under outside pressure and influence, we must rely on our inward power. In this narrative, Steve Currington gives the example of the Incredible Hulk and how he was looking to find a cure for control, self-control, and he overdosed. And then he became, anytime he was aggravated, he became this monster. He also gave another example of somebody who was a superhero who was always under control, and that was Superman. But we want to be the spirit man. We want to be the person that's led by the Spirit of God. To renew our minds, we must reject focusing on the acquisition of information about God and focus on building our personal relationship with God. A proper transformation leads to confirmation. Paul told us to be not conformed to this world. The word conform means to be poured into a mold. In other words, we don't want to walk as other people walk in this world. We don't want to go along to get along and accept the world's philosophies, the world's music, the world's Hollywood, and their presentation of the family, which is corrupt and backward and perverted. we want to be rejecting that. We want to conform to the Word of God and how the Lord presents the structure and the operation of a family in His Word. A proper transformation leads to confirmation. You know, the word conform means to be poured into a mold. The world's mold is lust, flesh, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:15 through 17. When you turn there, very familiar verses. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we want to be conformed not to this world, but to the Word of God, and a walk with God. As you develop the habit of communication between the Holy Spirit and your spirit, you learn to function as a spirit-led trichotomy. The stronger your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the more in control of your life He will be. Allow Christ to duplicate His life through you as you mold and conform your behavior to Him in the power of His Spirit. And I find that a key element in the sanctification process. To duplicate His life through you as you mold and conform your behavior to Him. You know, the Lord had a public ministry as an example to all because He was perfect as to how we are to live. We, in the flesh, cannot duplicate that. But if we meditate on the Word of God, when we're reading about how our Lord spoke to people and dealt with people and loved people, and we want to replicate that in our lives, these are not just examples or stories or things we need to read and say, this is great. These are things we need to incorporate in our lives. And it speaks directly to how the Lord responded in situations that He was presented with. Every day we are presented with challenges in our families, at work, at church, everywhere. We are presented with opportunities to walk in the Spirit and to be like Christ. If we allow Jesus Christ to duplicate His life through you, how does He do that? One way. The Spirit of God that dwells within you. When you are saved, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you. Our problem is that we limit the Holy Spirit's work in our life. We limit what the Lord can do in our individual lives, in our corporate life as church. We limit Him. He is limitless. The power of the Holy Spirit is amazing. And I just want to mention that this past week, we have watched a video on a revival that happened in the Hebrides Islands, which is, I think, Scotland, in 1949. And as a result of listening to the testimony of the folks that described what happened, I came away thinking, I limit what the Lord does in my life because I don't access and believe enough that of the in the power that the Spirit of God can have in a life. We had two, they had two elderly ladies who initiated this great revival, which led to many, many great experiences that resulted in thousands of people getting saved. And this is an unknown area. This is a small area, no different than Hill Village. Allow Jesus Christ to duplicate his life through you as you mold and conform your behavior to him. It started with prayer. Asking the Lord to do a great work in our lives. And continue asking and continue yielding. A proper confirmation produces documentation. Paul's concluding process is that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word prove means to document. As your mind is repaired, God begins to communicate with you. The proof or documentation of my personal relationship or your personal relationship with God is that when I do yield my life to the Holy Spirit's power, then and only then does my life produce evidence that I'm pleasing God by fulfilling His will. Remember, God's plan for restoring our daily walk with Him will not unfold in our lives without resistance from the devil. He does not want people to have victory in their life. He does not want you to have victory in your life. God's original plan was derailed in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve traded his plan for Satan's plan. When we get saved, we are supposed to be, we know we're justified, just as if we've never sinned, we're pronounced righteous. But that's when the sanctification process goes. And my challenge to you today is, don't accept yourself where you are in your walk as being good enough or pleasing enough. When you have the power of the Holy Spirit at your disposal, at our disposal, amazing things can be done in your life, in my life, and at Hill Village Bible Church and many other places in the world. Don't limit yourself. Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the RU program. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the challenges. I pray that you would work and guide each one of us to do your will and be transformed and as a result conform to your word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.